everybody, and welcome to So What Happens Next. I'm your host, Amber.
And I'm Thomas.
And today, we're going to take another dive into a Japanese psychological animated film called Perfect Blue.
How's it feel to be back in the hot seat again?
It's a little unnerving. This is my second time doing this, and I guess it gets easier with each time that I totally do it, does. But yeah. Yeah. But so, I still have to work out what I need to say. But anyways, hope you guys are doing well throughout this quarantine stay-at-home order. So again, for this episode and for every episode that we do, we have five things written on the board. The first one is that the film was directed by the same person who did Paprika.
Cool. I'm excited. I like Paprika. It was fun. Like, it was a really good
Paprika
movie.
Was a real trip.
It was a trip beyond a trip. I mean, check out our episode on Paprika that we did, you know, a little while ago, but it's our 20th episode. Mm-hmm. I think is Paprika. It's such a good version of Inception.
Oh, well, wait till you hear about this film.
Oh, shit, okay.
It definitely influenced a more famous movie in America. Oh, well, can you guess what it is?
No, I don't want to guess what it is because I'm not sure. I don't want to ruin this one for me, but...
Oh, that's true.
If I'm going to take
Let's
a guess...
Let's wait until the end.
Okay, because I don't know... I'm looking at the five things on the board right now, and I'm not sure if I know what it would be anyway.
Okay. But it's really interesting because it seems like his films seem to have an influence on American films.
We're sensing a theme from Japan. Go see our episode about Seven Samurai. But what are the other four things left on the board for us?
So the second one is that the film is about a pop idol who retires from music to pursue an acting career.
Okay.
And then the third one is she becomes a victim of stalking.
Hmm.
And fourth is perception leads to false reality.
Okay.
And five is perfect blue equals happiness? Question mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so what can I mean,
from these five things that I've listed, what do you think this movie is about?
Well, you know, at first it's like, oh, pop idol retires from music to be an actor.
Which is not uncommon.
No, plenty of people do it. I mean, like, Will Smith kind of did that, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm looking at you, rapper. Miley Cyrus.
Oh. I mean, I think judging just from what you have on the board, like, we're going to get a pop idol who obviously gets a stalker, and I think it's going to be dealing with that stalker is the crux of the movie, and I'm kind of wondering whose perception is going to be the false reality. Like, because my gut instinct is like the stalker is one of these people who thinks like, oh, because I loved her music and I felt like she was singing to me because I felt more related to it than anybody else, that it's like she's my best friend, and you wind up this logic train that equals she loves me or something like that, right? When in reality, she has no idea who the fuck you are. But at the same time, I mean, just because it's prefaced with the same director as Paprika, I could also see her kind of spiraling out and, like, believing that, you know, because, like, clearly, like, she goes from pop idol to acting, and I would imagine most people believe, like, oh, at first, this is an upgrade in my career, and, like, maybe perceiving the world as, like, all these things that I'm doing are really hard work, and then in reality, they're actually just really shitty, and they're not, like, you might have actually even been better off as a pop star instead. Then again, I've heard that being a pop idol out in Korea and Japan is pretty brutal, so I'm not really sure if it's really that much better. and then perfect blue equaling happiness with a question mark, that actually makes me wonder, so it kind of, following the color scheme, it's similar to the concept of A Clockwork Orange, is, if I recall, when I attempted to read that book many years ago, the term A Clockwork Orange is like a perfect orange, like the color, I guess. It's like, to be something, to name something as clockwork is like it's working perfectly. It's perfectly in time, it's rotating. So like perfect blue, maybe that's like the point, you know, it's like a perfect blue is like happiness because it's perfect or whatever. Or it could mean blue, like I'm feeling blue and it's nothing more than irony. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm so perfectly sad that it's joyful. Who knows? But yeah, I definitely think this is also going to be a lot more mentally...
Yeah, thrilling. So another thing I could have added to the list, I guess, is the idea of, kind of like in Paprika, where you have two identities, and so you have this identity, like I don't want to say issue, but like, yes, crisis.
Hmm. So like, between the actor, actress, and their...
Yes, like, so like the female protagonist, I guess, of this film.
Okay.
She is, it's very similar to the one in Paprika, despite like having different occupations or whatever, but just that she's battling kind of with herself, and you get to visually see that.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm banking on this being very, like, really pushing animation for its time to what we can get out of it. Because Paprika, I mean, you said this comes out in 1997,
96? Yep, 97.
So almost 10 years later, we get Paprika. And I mean, that movie's doing crazy stuff using animation. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this movie is at the very least like a slightly toned down version of that. But it was so stylistic in Paprika that I'm anticipating seeing some form of that in this.
Yeah, and maybe not so, like, blown out, kind of like Paprika was, because you had all these, like, colors and just vibrant, like, images in Paprika.
No, I guess...
what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because I think I know what movie you're talking about it influenced, but I'm going to save it until after we watch it, because I want to keep it to myself to know if I'm right, and I don't want it to think of anything, but if you guys at home are thinking the same movie as me, I know why you watched that movie.
So now we're going to watch the trailer, which will be just a second for you and a few minutes for us, and then we'll come back and share our final thoughts on it. So what do you think, Thomas?
It looks a lot more intense. Like, it looks... darker than Paprika.
Yes,
was.
It is much darker than Paprika.
Like, I can see this movie being
like, when they say disturbing. A suspense and thriller, like
thriller. It also, I gotta say, like, ever since I think Neon Genesis Evangelion, like, is it just that every anime character lives in the same fucking apartment building? I mean, everybody...
That's
it's
true.
It's that tile, that subway tile wall with the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I think it's in Digimon and Evangelion. And like every anime that takes place at some point in the Tokyo metropolitan area, like, they're in that building. Or are all the buildings in Japan just happen... Are all the apartment buildings in 90s Japan?
I know. I think of like... One Punch Man, and he lives in the same kind of complex.
Like, they'll have that kind of similar look, right? So if we have any listeners in Japan or who have been to Japan frequently, enough to maybe shed some light on that, let us know. Because I'm like, is it just so ubiquitous that like everyone... Oh, yep, we can relate to that. Yep, as a Japanese viewer, that looks like my house. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, I think... this movie is definitely interesting. I mean, it almost... Like, I know you have, like, the stalker in there, and he's definitely there. He's creepy as shit. But, like, it almost seems like that's, like, a B-plot here. I'm kind of curious if that's going to wind up being, like, a B-plot. And our main plot line is just her dealing with what looks like fame. Or maybe even... I kind of might want to, like, change my thoughts. Is she coming to terms with not being a part of CHAM? Is it the name of her musical group?
Yeah, CHAM. Not being like a pop star, basically, right. Which is who we continue to see throughout the trailer. It's just like a Paprika-like girl that's just running around.
No, and it's interesting because I kind of look at it and I'm like, oh, you know, I thought it was going to be the difference between like fame, who you are, you know, if I'm an actor, who I am on a press circuit versus who I am when I go back to my hotel room.
Yeah.
But this looks like it's almost like you're having trouble letting go of your previous job and moving into the other one because it was such a big part of
clearly it's a very big part of her life. Because music and acting kind of go together, right? Like in music you're playing this, it's not really yourself, like it's a little bit of yourself.
Well, you're still putting on a show.
Yeah.
When you're on stage.
But acting, it's entirely, you know, you're playing someone else, and maybe she had different thoughts about that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious how it's going to, because it looks kind of like it's her coming to terms with, like, I'm not doing that anymore. Or how do I not be that person anymore?
Yeah. And I haven't seen this film in a while, but I wonder if the term actress is different, because there was that one scene where she was kind of looked like she was undressing, and I'm like, oof, you know, I hope it's...
People undress in movies.
That's true.
I don't know. Maybe it's that kind of scene. I don't know.
But just remembering that was like, oh yeah, this isn't like good.
Oh, okay. Well, who knows? Maybe it is what I thought. And it's that whole like, oh, I'm an actress now. But it's like,
yeah, you're an actress, you're like but you have to do these things.
But you're not like, you know, in big Hollywood blockbuster movies or mm-hmm. something like that. You are just kind of in this perhaps even skeezy, like, you know,
B-movie. And that's the word like that a lot of people use to like describe this.
Right. Well, cool. I'm interested. Like, I mean, this looks like it's going to be definitely an emotional romp.
So it'll be about an hour and 21 minutes for us and a few seconds for you as we go and watch Perfect Blue.
It was Black Swan.
Yes, you figured it out, Thomas.
Yeah. It was Black Swan without that scene. Not to spoil Black Swan for anybody. Yeah, it was cool. Like that was an interesting movie, Amber.
So with that being said, let's just dive into the plot of the movie.
Totally.
So the movie starts out with Power Rangers.
Right? Like Perfect Blue Ranger much. I mean, this was like, it's like a stage performance of Power Rangers.
Yeah, and they're like dancing and singing.
Yeah.
And there's only three of them. So you've got the red.
Yeah, it's like a handful.
Yellow and pink, I think.
I vaguely remember. It's like one off bit, and like people are complaining about
how it's not as good as a show. Yeah, but obviously people don't like Power Rangers. They're just, you know, shitting on Power Rangers.
Well, they're just like, I remember people were like, oh, the show's so much better. Like, this sucks. And I'm like, yeah, you're watching it like in person. The show has special effects and shit. Like, what do you expect? Them to actually like whip a giant robot out of their ass? Like, how the hell are you doing that?
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's before the. It's before the pop show with our main character in it, right?
Yes. So there's a pop duo that's about to come on after Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And before that, we have like these group of guys who are just kind of like, they're a little bit creepy, but they're like, oh yeah, like, they're basically talking about these girls as if they know them. And like, they've done a whole lot of research on them too. And so they're kind of hinting at, you know, the main girl of the trio, like she's gonna be like leaving mm-hmm. or something like that. And you also have this like really creepo guy that's just kind of like hanging out,
creepy looking, creepy acting. This dude is a fucking weirdo and a half. Oh my god,
like his face is just like, the way they like drew him,
right,
was I was just like, oh my gosh, just, like, it's not even like a regular person. It's just, he's just, his eyes are not, you know, aligned. It's
He looks like if Gollum and the dude from the Goonies had a baby and that baby got hit by a truck. Like, that's what this guy looks really fucking weird.
Yeah.
And I did not like it. And it's just straight up clear, like, he is the creepy stalker guy.
Yeah, right then and there, you're like, oh, okay, that's, like, the villain of the film or whatever. But anyways, finally, Sham does come on, and they're performing and everything. And then it gets to the last song, and that's where that main girl, whose name is Mimi, she makes her announcement saying that, oh, I've decided to leave the group and I'm going to, you know, pursue an acting career. And while she's making this announcement, there's these guys that are kind of off in the corner and they're causing a ruckus.
Yeah.
And that's where you also see the creepy guy, you know, he's like, doesn't really say anything, but he just like starts like, or trying to beat up these guys who obviously there's five of them against one, I think. And they like beat the shit out of him. But she tells them to stop and she makes eye contact with that guy. And he just like his smile, I was like, oh, that gives me like
all of it. Well, that's the thing that I don't get on a broad sense. And maybe this is just me, not it's a cultural difference. But like there was a lot like I guess like pop stars in the States, right? Outwardly in the United States, they're so much more like. Like, Miley Cyrus is, or to better, like, Taylor Swift's main demographic is, like, young girls, right? Yes. And you would think that's the main demographic for this group in the movie,
but Champ. But it's guys. I did not see any girls.
And that's what I don't get. I'm like, is this a Japan thing? Like, and then also, like, what's the appealing factor here? Like, just out of straight curiosity, is it like a weird sex thing? Is it just, like, not afraid to like the style of music you like? Okay, cool. Like, it just seemed really weird. Like,
it did. Because and it also not wasn't... Like any, they're not popular or anything like that by any means. Like, they're popular within their demographic, which is all these, like, you know, older guys. But compared to, like, everyone else, I'm just like, yeah, they're not anything special. Like, and they don't sing very well. Yeah.
Like, they're not amazing. Like, and I guess that was the weird thing was, like, their demographic for, like, an audience was just a bunch of dudes, but it wasn't like they were all creeping on them, you know? It wasn't like, ooh, yeah,
yeah,
she's
and
hot.
Even then, like, they were kind of just, like, the place that they're at right now that they're holding this concert or whatever. It's like, it's not that great. Like, the venue's not even that great, and they're kind of just like, you know, it was better when they were doing this. They've kind of gone downhill from there.
Right.
So you're kind of getting this idea that this band is kind of, like, which is why she is probably making her transition into an acting career. It's kind of going downhill, like, for the group. So she's like, okay, maybe it's time for me to, like, dip out.
And you kind of see that in, like, her apartment, right? Like, it's not... Like, when you think pop star, you think, like, MTV Cribs. And then when you get shown her apartment, it's just, like, a crappy little, like,
borderline
studio apartment.
And that's where you kind of dive into, like, who she is as a person. And she's very, like, almost, like, ditzy, I want to say.
Yo, she's totally... I get this movie's in, like, what, 1997, I think is what we said?
Yeah.
I get that, but the fact that, like, she has to have, like, her manager, handler, woman, like, teach her how to operate a computer in the way that she does is just really weird to me. It's just like, what's the internet? And I'm like, you gotta know what the internet is, right? Like, you gotta know, like, you could do this. And, like, she finds that website...
Yeah, but before that, we also get to see how she's doing with her acting career.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like she was definitely, like, kind of forced into it because they keep asking her, like, you know, what does, like, Mimi want? And the manager or the producer, so to speak, he's like, oh, like, this will be a good opportunity for her. And her friend, I guess, like, the other manager or... I guess it's the producer, right? The guy is the producer.
That's where I was getting a little confused because it came off like...
Or they have two managers. I really didn't know.
Two managers or like you could argue that she's maybe the handler. Like you have like a handler of these
pop groups.
Oh, she's
the assistant. Okay.
Yeah. And then you have the manager who is that kind of scuzzy guy. Like.
Yeah. But he's just like, yeah, this will be great. You know, everything will be great. And the assistant's like, but what does Mimi want? And, you know, Mimi's just like, you know, you've already put too much effort into like getting me these... roles in these like TV shows and stuff. I'll just do it like because. And we cut to the set that she's on where
it's like a Law and Order.
It's a Law and Order basically with like a serial killer and they're trying to figure out who it is. But she has one line.
This and girl she's has crazy one, about it. She's like paranoid as hell about it. She's and like, she's, oh my God.
Yeah, and she's freaking out about it. And she's like, I got it. Like, she keeps repeating it over and over again. I'm just like, it's just one line.
And it's something along the lines of like, who are you? Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not anything like in depth. It's just like, who are you?
And yeah. And even the assistant is kind of just like talking to the other guy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, it's just like one line. Can we get her like something a little bit more? Like, this is...
Right, like, we want her to kind of have a debut here. Yeah. What are we doing? And that's where you get the letter bomb.
Yeah, that is where you get the letter bomb.
Which is taken way too casually. Like,
I know, because that guy does actually get injured by it.
It blows up in his fucking face. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, the next one will be real. And I'm just like, wait a minute. But then don't they say, like, don't call the cops? Or like, we're not going to call the police or some shit like that? What the hell?
I know.
Why? It's not like it would hinder production, right? Like, oh, somebody sent us a letter bomb. Like, please figure this out.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, after that, this is where she gets the computer.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, that was a painful ass scene.
It hurt because it wasn't even like, oh, it's 2020. Like, figure out a word, computer, idiot. It was like, I don't know. I remember being a child in like 97 and understanding at least conceptually what these things were. Like, I knew what the internet was, even if I didn't know all about it. I knew how to like open up a browser and type into the search bar, you know, something. But the way that she talks to her, it's like talking to a ball of hot air. She's just like not present. She's like, oh my God, that's weird. And she that's where she finds the creepy website, right?
Yeah, and the assistant's like, you need to pay attention. Kind of like, you know, a mom talks to her daughter or like a kid.
Right.
It's just like, okay, pay attention. Like, this is how you, like, open the window.
Yeah, it's like, you click this to open the window, yeah. And then you click this bar and type it in with the keyboard. And it's like, wait, what do I click with? It's like, with the mouse. It's called a mouse. And it's like, stop it.
Yeah. But anyways, so the assistant shows her, like, how to get to that website that was written in the letter, right? Mimi's room.
Yeah, it's like somebody gave her a letter or something, and it says, like, I run Mimi's room, whatever, and so she, like, looks it up.
Yeah, and it's like an online diary, and at first it's kind of, like, you know, cutesy or whatever.
Well,
but
it's
then...
creepy as shit from the beginning. I'm sorry. No, this is terrifying, because it's not... It's a website that's her diary.
Like, yeah, but to her it's, like, cutesy, because she...
But she didn't write it.
Who really...
Huh? That's the problem, is it's... It's supposed to be her saying, this is how my day was, this is how I feel. It's like a blog for her. But she didn't write
it. No, exactly.
And that's fucking creepy.
I know.
Like, she goes, oh, this is cute. And in my mind, I'm like, motherfucker, if I went online and found a blog that was using my name and my
and
voice,
had specific
say shit,
details too.
It had terrifying deals. Like, today I went to the store and I did this, and I didn't do this because I like.
And it shows her going to the store, shit, picking out a specific type of milk,
right?
And the reason as to why she picked out that specific type of milk.
It's horrifying.
Yes, it is.
And she does not get horrified by it fast enough. Like, it's fucking terrifying. And I don't know, I feel like even in 1997, if you saw that, you would be like, hold up a minute, I didn't write that. Why is this here? Why is this person pretending to be me? This is fucking creepy.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, that for a split second took me out of this movie. Because I'm like, that, I understand being ditzy, but that's a little too much. Like, that's a little fucking weird.
Yeah.
That's my rant on the website.
But anyway, she has her little moment where she's like, oh, I'm being, you know, I feel like I'm being watched. Mm-hmm. And she looks through the window, but doesn't see anything. And it cuts to the next scene to where her manager, her assistant and manager, they're struggling with, you know, trying to get her more roles, like acting roles. And they ask her to come to their, like, headquarters.
Yeah.
And this is where we kind of get a glimpse into the other two. We don't really know that much about them, but... we know that they're not really close, like, because she's coming in and, you know, she says hi and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like what we're doing right now. They're recording on a podcast.
Yeah, they're doing like a radio type
thing. Yeah, they're doing like a radio thing. And it seems like they're doing a lot better without her. Right? And I'm kind of just like, were you that much of a...
Well, is this the scene where one of the managers does say, like, or is it, like, the next time we do this whole bit where it's, like, they go, oh, yeah, they just, like, hit, like, the Billboard top 100
or some
and
that's
shit.
What they're talking about on the radio.
And it's like, oh, like, they are doing a lot better without you. Like, and I think this is where I think that this movie does a good job, especially with how it ultimately ends up, because... She's, like, during all of this, she's kind of, like, Mimi's sort of losing her mind on this whole, like, I'm supposed to be a pop star. Why am I doing this movie thing? And she keeps, like, tripping balls and seeing a pop star version of herself and shit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, like, it is doing a very, very heavy-handed version of, like, this sense of regret where you're, like, oh, man, if only I didn't quit. I would be sitting in there too. I would be sharing in this success with them and all that other stuff. When in reality, I wouldn't be surprised if like they gained a little bit of popularity because she became an actress, you know, like she changed positions. They made a thing out of it and more attention got put on them as a whole. But yeah, they're kind of, you know, they're successful and this is where they convince her to do that really like, oof scene in that show, right?
I know. Like, oh, we're gonna do a rape scene.
Yeah. And like the handler is like, fuck no, like this will
She's like crying, like the assistant. You know, because maybe it's like, I agree to it.
Right.
I need to do this in order to get myself out there because, you know, nobody knows who she is. But she's trying to be a reoccurring
character
on the show. In order to do that, you have to do like, they're like, oh, you know, do this risky like scene or whatever.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, let's make this like do this scene, it's gonna be intense. And I can kind of understand where she's coming from with it, because like with something like this, I feel like the issue for like the handler woman was like, you're gonna be raped, they're gonna show you like naked on TV. But for her, it's like, I need to show my range as an actor and like do this arguably emotionally intense scene to sort of prove that I can do it, not just be, you know, sort of a cameo appearance on TV. And like in that, it made sense to me, especially when they do shoot the scene, because like it is like, I don't know, I kind of like, I don't want to say like, oh, I really liked that scene when they're filming the rape scene. Like, I was just sort of, it was like really well done because they're like, I feel like it kind of captured, I mean, I'm not like a producer, I've never like been on a set, but it felt like this is how you would shoot something like that.
Yeah.
And they don't just do it.
And it wasn't like it was unsafe or anything like that.
No, because even the guy's like, hey, I'm really sorry about this. And she's like, it's okay. Like, we're fine. And they film it and it was like emotionally intense for everybody because they have to do it multiple times like you would in a movie or a show. But like, they do it. It was so cool how they were like, they're doing it and you can feel like while you're watching it, it's intense, it's intense, it's intense. And then they yell cut and everybody just kind of stops and they're like, was that good? And they're like, yeah, we'll do it again. It's like, okay, that's fine. Reset. And like, they just go back to it. And the only person that seemed to have like a big, huge problem was the handler woman.
Yeah.
Like even Mimi was like, okay, like, was that fine?
Yeah. And even afterwards, like the producer felt so bad. He was just like, I'll just treat you to...
Yeah.
Or something like that. And she's kind of unfazed by that. Even though, like, during that, it seemed like she was blurring, like, reality.
Like, yeah, she started tripping a little bit in there.
Yeah. And maybe that was just to show, like, how she was kind of like, it was kind of like an exhilarating moment.
Yeah.
To where she was like, whoa, like, almost an out of body experience. Like, you see it happening to you, but, like, you
know. And isn't that where you kind of start seeing, and, like, the show is mirroring. It's like leading you to believe like what's happening in reality, right? Like,
yeah,
because the show they're filming is like this, it's sort of like a Law and Order type deal, but like they're trying to catch this killer and this person with split personalities denying it, who's Mimi's character in the show. And it's like she's tripping while she's in the show. And it was kind of a cool, like, now that I'm thinking about it late after the fact, it was kind of cool how they're like, we're gonna use the show to like better portray her falling into this, but at the same time the show's almost like helping her come to terms with it.
Yeah,
like it was kind of cool how like you, like Paprika was, you could never really tell when the show was being filmed until
because she would say her real name,
Right, because she's tripping out.
Yeah, and she's tripping. But anyway, she comes home after the rape scene and finds that her fish are dead. And she also checks on the website, and it's becoming more aggressive. Like, the person who's behind that is, like, kind of starting to say, like, really mean things.
Yeah, because they start talking about, like, how, like, oh, that's not me, and
yeah, they made me do it, and I begged my producer, you know, not to, even though she didn't. Right. She said she was okay with it, and she's kind of like, I never said that, and, like...
Yeah. And that's where the screenwriter gets killed, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, then it starts... This show or this movie becomes like this weird murder mystery where like people start getting killed.
Yeah, and they're being killed like one by one, and right. It's really crazy.
And like this movie could have easily taken like a really cool like thriller kind of like crime thriller aspect where like these people are getting killed because like the screenwriter gets killed after he writes like the rape scene and everything like that. And then I think he like mentions some other thing later or something. I don't remember. But yeah, and then she does like a nude photo shoot.
Yeah.
Which is a weird cut to do, but that's what happens.
Yeah. And of course it gets posted in all the magazines, and that creeper guy, he like tries to take all, which I was like, that is so like stupid.
We tried to buy all the magazines. Yeah,
so that nobody can see it. And it's just like, sorry, you can't like.
Yeah, it's fucking like,
it is everywhere, probably around, at least in the country. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you're not going to be able to stop that.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Like, everything the creepy guy does is uncomfortable. And I mean, it's supposed to be, and it does it really well, but it's just like, because it's also like, you're not, he's not creeping in such a way where you think he's going to like sexually abuse her or something. Yeah. It's like, it does a very good job not making you feel that. It does a really good job making you understand, like, this dude is freakishly obsessed with her as, like, a pop idol. And you get
that, like, when you see his lair or, like, his room, and he's talking, and it's her voice. And I was like, that is fuck. As he's and typing. And all
those posters are talking to him and shit, too. Like, it's her talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know, that's not me. You have to kill this me.
Oh my God, that was so fucking creepy. That was so fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Because
she's like, thank you so much. And she just like hugs him, and just all around the walls is just like pictures of her.
Ugh. And the worst part is there's probably people like that. But yeah, because then they hatch this plan. And he's like, I'm going to kill her because...
She's not the real me.
Right, and that was such a wild, like, what ultimately happened, we're getting close to it, but when you figure out the twist of this movie, it's wild, because it's just the way it's planned out and played out is crazy. Like, you don't really see it coming until it's there, and you're like, oh shit, that makes a lot of sense. Like, but yeah, because he's like, okay, I'm going to kill her then.
Yeah.
Like, I have to kill her, because she's a wire. And you see him emailing somebody who's like, I'm the real one, like, we need to kill her or something. And that's we need to get rid of her because she's a liar. Yeah. She's a fake or something like that. And at the same time, like, Mimi's over here just tripping out, losing her grip on reality. She is going nuts. And I think she peaks when the stalker starts like watching her on set or something like that.
Yeah. She keeps seeing him on set, and it causes her to fuck up her lines.
Yeah.
But she's seeing him, like, at every set. And even the other co-star was like, are you okay? Like, and she's like, yeah, I'm fine. But, and then it goes between that, like, being on set and then being at home. And it's just, like, you don't even know, like,
that when
she's,
cool.
like...
Yeah,
yeah, I like when that. She's at work, when she's not at work. Like, is any of this, like, real?
And that makes me wonder, because, like, you hear about that kind of stuff, right? Like, I mean... You know, at the time of recording this, like, recently, I don't know if you've heard about that, Amber, but, like, Ruby Rose quit that Batwoman show that was on CW.
Yeah.
Now, I've never watched the show. I've heard less than great things about it. Yeah,
it wasn't great from what I heard.
But, like, apparently she quit because it was, like, you're pulling, like, 16-hour days to film this show. Oh, and I guess she was like, I don't want to do that. This is a lot of work. It's more work than I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought I could do it. Screw it. And, I mean, she also, like... almost lost the ability to walk or something doing a stunt on this show. So, I mean, I don't really blame her for that. But it is interesting because, like, this movie sort of shows you, hey, all right, I'm going to set. I'm there for God knows how long a day. You don't even remember going home. You're just waking up to get started the next day. And I think this movie did a really good job kind of showing that sort of how that could be really detrimental to a person if you're not ready for it. And because that whole scene where she's, like, waking up and it's, like, 2 days later, she's been working and filming and she, like, you can't tell, like, did she just dream that she was on set? And what part of that was a dream? What part of it wasn't? Because, like, she is seeing that creepy stalker guy, which makes me wonder what the fuck security for famous people is like on television series in Japan. Because, like, he's just there. There's just people there. And I'm like, I get that you can't always keep people out, but what? Like, this guy's just standing there, like, unimpeded. If he wanted to, he could just bum rush the set at any time and, like, off this girl. And no one seems to be, like, even remotely concerned about the safety of the actors. Which is just really weird. But yeah, she's kind of losing. She's like seemed to be using the website to define what she did in the day, which was equally as creepy. Because she, like, there's a scene I thought where she reads something on the website. It's like, I went to the store today and bought clothes. And she's just like, I guess I went to the store today. And, like, went on with the rest of the night. And I'm like, ooh, that'd freak me the fuck out.
And then in the next few scenes, she starts, like, killing people. And this is where I'm like, oh, maybe, like, she actually did kill, like, the screenwriter.
Mm-hmm. Because then she has, isn't it, like, she delivers pizza or
something? Yeah, she delivers pizza.
And then kills somebody?
Yeah, she kills one of the, maybe the producer of something the TV like show. Yeah, someone important that was, like, a part of the show.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, you made me, like, do that.
Oh, scene. She kills the photographer for the
No, she kills the photographer. Right. That's right.
And then she, like, wakes up the next day.
And she has the bag of, like, bloody clothes. Right. And I'm just like, oh, she did it. Like,
I know. So, and it's like, oh, fuck. She's, because at the same time, the television show, which you find out right after that, in the plot of the TV show they're filming, her character has a split personality, and one of them is killing people. For their, how was it? It was like the split personalities are sisters, and one sister is protecting the other sister by killing all the people that are doing basically this to them. And so it's like, the movie's like, hey guys, like, that's what's happening, right? And it's like, okay, that's fine. And that's the end, right? They do that scene where they're like, oh, but split personality, like, she's crazy. And it's over. And they're like, all right, let's have the wrap party now. Like, we're done filming. It's over. And that's where the creepy fucking stalker decides to make his debut to kill her, right?
Yeah, on the set where she was, like, did that rape scene.
Mm-hmm. And which was, like, a strip club or something.
Yeah. And she is able to kill him.
Which is, that was such a good scene. I mean, not, I mean, like, you could take, like, the theatrical parallels aside where, like, she was raped in the show and it wasn't anything, like, everyone was fine with it, to, like, now she actually is getting raped and, like, fighting for her life. She kills this dude, which, you know, I'm clapping, like, fuck this guy. Yeah, because
she brings a hammer to his head and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, she, like, grabs a hammer and, like, sickening shit. Sound.
It's like,
I was like, oh my God, watch, he's not going to be real in this whole thing. It's like, nope, he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
He's totally dead.
And then, of course, like, she sees that her manager is also dead and she's like, oh my God, like, did I kill, like, the manager too?
Which is right after a scene where he's talking, him and the handler are talking about how she's going to do more. She's like, because of that rape scene, they're she's getting a lot
more coverage
and she's going to do more acting work, but it's going to, like, unfortunately some of it is going to be stuff like that rape scene where it is, like, more mature, not like a kid thing. And he's like, some of it's gonna be a little scuzzy, but, like, you know, that's what's working or whatever. Yeah, like, that's the way. And the other
lady, she, like, storms off.
Yeah, she gets real mad and storms off.
Yeah.
But then she finds, so her handler Rumi finds
Mimi. She finds her. Yeah, she's kind of, like, in the hallway and she's like, what's going on? Like, I told you to go get,
because she looks changed. Like shit. Because she looks like she just got raped.
Yeah.
Like, her clothes are all torn and she's like, what happened to you? And it's like, oh, this crazy shit happened.
Yeah, and she ends up, like, in a room.
Well, they end up back, like, in the apartment, right?
Yeah, but she ends up in an apartment that looks like her apartment.
That's right.
And, you know, it's got the same, like, fish in the tank. It's got, like, the posters but and everything. But the
fish aren't dead.
Yeah, the fish aren't dead. And she's That's like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, God, this is so disturbing.
I know. And, like, then she looks through her closet, I think, and she finds, like... Doesn't she see, like, the same clothes that, like, she would wear?
Well, she sees her clothes, but then that's where, like, Rumi comes out wearing, like...
Yeah, but before that, she was like, this isn't my apartment.
Because,
like,
the fish, right? Yeah. The fish or the tail, because earlier in the movie, gotcha. Her fish are dead.
Yeah.
And then when she wakes up in this apartment, the fish are all swimming around.
Yeah.
And she's like, wait, these are supposed to be dead. Yeah. And then, yeah, like...
Out comes Rumi, like, wearing, like, the sham outfit.
Oh, my God. Like, that was so fucking creepy, because, like, yeah. Rumi is this, like, larger woman, looks as, like, in no way, shape, or form remotely looks like Mimi. She's also, like, animated, kind of creepy looking, walks out in, like, Mimi's clothes, like, in her, like, weird ballerina-esque pop star outfit that's, yeah. like, too tight for her, doesn't quite fit, and she's, like, basically saying, like, I'm the real Mimi because the real Mimi is a pop star.
Yeah, and in the mirror, you can see, like, it's Mimi in the sham outfit. But, like, in real life, it's actually Rumi, like, that she sees in front of her.
Right. So, yeah. like, because that's when Mimi starts tripping and, like, she sees Rumi as herself.
Yeah.
And all the reflections yeah. start to become
And as, Rumi. Like, she's being yeah. chased by her, like, Rumi's floating, so to speak.
Oh, man, this is so But it's then, so like, tough to it describe.
Cuts to the freaking, like, mirror. Like, she's passing by a window right. or something, and you can see her sweating and huffing and puffing.
It's like, yeah, so...
And I was like, that's oof. Great, like...
Well, because, like, what... So, basically, Rumi's like, I have to kill you because you're the fake me or yeah. whatever. And so, it's very clear Rumi yeah. is a wackadoodle.
She's like, I'm Mimi, like, you right. know, like, the real Mimi.
And she starts chasing
And she was like,
her.
The stalker guy didn't do, you know, what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, she basically expositions yeah. the plot. Like, I worked with the creepy stalker guy, pretending... Basically, she thinks she's Mimi, but it's like, she pretended to be Mimi with this stalker guy to kill the real Mimi. Yeah. You know, craziness aside. And she starts chasing Mimi, like, around. Like, we're jumping out of windows and shit. And, like, across rooftops and yeah. stuff. And you do get, like, it's so tough to talk about because it's all physical, like, action that's going on. But you do get that really cool scene that you mentioned, Amber, where she's, like, a real Mimi's running away from what she sees as, like, the fake ballerina one who's just hopping and gliding everywhere yeah. and then you see that like reflection where it shows reality and it's this like overweight woman Rumi like sweating and snarling and like fucking just sprinting after her like it's horrific
yeah and she takes an umbrella and just yeah Mimi takes the umbrella Mimi. Right
is it
no it's the other Rumi way around
takes the umbrella?
No because Rumi had the umbrella oh. and she like stabs her and so she gets injured like on the side and
what the fuck kind of umbrella can I don't know
I know maybe that's what I was thinking too I was like damn that's a sharp umbrella
who puts such a fine point on the end of an umbrella I mean like because we have an umbrella that's like the one they use right it's got like the little hook handle and it's just long
yeah
I can't fathom puncturing someone with that or anything with that like yeah. it's too blunt on the end you'd have to like have a truck behind it to make it work, yeah. but they do it, and it's like, what the hell? Mm-hmm.
But the next part is really, I thought, was screwed up to where, like, she was, you know, wrestling with her, yeah. and she took, like, the headband or the piece, the wig.
Yeah,
was it
yeah,
the
she
wig?
Takes her wig.
Yeah, and she just, like, throws it because they slam into a window, and yeah. it just shatters. And the girl, like, she, like, freaks out because she's like, oh, my God, I'm not, like, Mimi anymore.
Right.
And she leans over the broken
shirt. Oh, my God, that was so fucking weird.
And you hear a...
Like, and she just, like, into her gut. It's just, like, a right? It's, like, in her chest or something?
Yeah.
Oh. Because she's like, oh, no, I'm not, yeah. I don't look like Mimi.
And then she
I
starts, of
wig.
Course, like, screaming and wanders out into the road. Where there's, like, a car coming, and real Mimi saves her.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, pushes her, like, out of the way.
Yeah, there's, like, a semi-truck gonna hit yeah. Rumi, and Mimi runs in and just tackles her.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it, like, flashes, and we kind of flash forward, right? Like,
that's
it.
To present day, and Mimi comes to this, like...
Asylum?
Yeah, basically asylum hospital, yeah. Like long for long-term care. And we see Rumi, and she's obviously in the nut house.
Yeah, she's pretty kooky at this point.
Yeah, real Mimi is like talking to the nurse, and she's like, yeah, she has like, you know, two personalities. Sometimes the real one comes out, you know, like Rumi, mm-hmm. but then other times, you know, you get like this false Mimi. And of course, you can see that as she's looking in the mirror. And it's Mimi,
right?
That she sees.
And so. I like this thing because it's like it's enough into the future from the truck thing to where it shows Mimi has like a very successful acting career because all the orderlies and nurses are like, oh my god, that's and they say and I like this like to me this was such like a cool bit that they kind of led throughout the whole movie is like Mimi or whatever was like her stage name. And then she has, like, her real name, which is, like, her actress name. Yeah. And it's, like, a mature, like, actual name. It's not, like, you know, like, Mimi or some nickname thing, like a cutesy nickname. And all the orderlies are saying that name. They're like, oh, that's so-and-so, so-and-so. Like, that's the actress, so-and-so, so-and-so. Oh, my God. And, you know, she just kind of, like, walks through. Like, everything's fine. And, like, she is fine. Like, that weirdly, like, I think she mentions, like, if it wasn't for Rumi, like, she would not be okay right now. Which arguably you should not.
And then doesn't
need that.
Someone say, "Aren't you so and so?" And she's like, "I'm just an actress," or something like that.
Something to that effect. And it works. Like it's really like saddest. I mean, this is like the thing about this one. I think over Paprika is like it has a very satisfying.
Yeah,
ending.
Because she overcame like herself in some. It helped that it was another person.
Yeah,
that
we
was
really
like,
show her actually overcoming herself physically. And also mentally, it should not take what it took for that to happen, but it did.
Yeah.
But I liked it because it gave it, like, in my opinion, this movie gave a very, like, satisfying ending to where I didn't feel like it was either out of left field or it was just like, yeah, I wish they did this too. Like, it was like, okay, it's fine. Like, there was only, like, so many characters in this movie and most of them died. So it's kind of like, I can't really want anything more than that.
I thought it was great. Like, I really love animated films like this where it's kind of like it has a little bit of mystery and suspense, but then it's also kind of like fucked up. But psychologically it's like really stimulating because you're going through this and you're like, you don't know what's real or what's not because it's all from like her point of view, right? And a lot of movies are like that where it's just like Shutter Island. You don't know like until the very end that it's him.
The spoilers for Shutter Island.
Sorry. But this is spoiler land we're in. So,
yeah.
But anyways, like you have a lot of like stories like that where it's just like you don't know until like the very end. And even then, sometimes you don't know. Like,
and that's what I liked about this, though, was there wasn't a point of like, I don't know. Like, I know that Rumi is still crazy.
Yeah, and that was the nice part. You had some type of ending, and it was like a pretty good outcome for her.
Like, it's as good as it could be for everyone, right? Like, it wasn't like Rumi gets imprisoned for life. It's like she's getting mental
treatment,
health assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's getting treatment. And Mimi is a very successful actress. And not only that, but she overcame something like that was bothering her and all this. And there's just so much. I mean, this movie, you can play it in a way, you could take it in a way where it's like a coming of age story where she's doing this like immature, childish, you could argue childlike, you know, pop star thing and becoming an actor in like a serious kind of way where you're not playing like a kid's character, you're playing in like an adult television series and movies and shit. And she's coming to terms with kind of changing that persona she's been living. You could also take it as like just changing careers where you were doing one thing for years and you're doing something different now and you got to like take into account the fact that your life is changing. How do you deal with that? I mean, there's a lot that could be pulled from this movie, and I think that's what really plays to its advantage here because it makes it enjoyable to watch because it makes it relatable. You know, all of us have been, everybody's at that point or goes through that point where they have to, you know, grow up or, you know, you have to like big life changes and you have to figure out what life is going to be like next, and this one definitely did a good job with that. It's not quite like Black Swan, though. Like, I can see where it inspired Black Swan in like its theme of this person and their career, but and I mean it's been
which
a
is
long
funny
time,
that you bring that up so because well, first, what score do you think this film got on IMDb?
On IMDb, just because it's IMDb and everything seems to get this score, probably like a 7.5.
8 out of 10.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah, and then box office, I guess we'll just do like for the world. So what do you think? Because the budget is in Japanese, like...
Oh, it's in yen?
Yeah, it's in yen. Oh, but anyways, what do you think it made, like, gross worldwide?
Maybe like $15 million. I don't see this making super tons
of money. No, it actually made $563,000 at the box office. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Like, this is early enough to where I could see it. This is definitely, like, not being anything more than, like, art house kind of type stuff. Because Paprika was really the one I feel like with Khan's sort of work that broke him out into kind of the world, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
People knew, like, Perfect Blue or Tokyo Godfathers, but they didn't know, like, Paprika was the one that made everybody aware.
Yeah.
Not in Japan. So that makes sense. Like, I could see it not making that much.
Yeah. And then one of the, I guess a couple of the trivia. So the film was originally conceived as a live action, but became an anime when several backers abruptly pulled out in pre-production.
This is like Paprika.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, Paprika was going to have a live action adaptation. I guess that's different.
Yeah. And then the choreography from Mima's group Sham was not in unison. This is intentional to keep the realism of the film.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't notice that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I didn't think it was. I didn't, like, pay attention. Like, oh, they are so in sync. It was just kind of like they're doing things.
Yeah. And then the third one, Darren Aronofsky, so the one who did Black Swan.
Oh, okay.
He owns the American filming rights to this film, which he purchased for $59,000 to use the infamous bath scene in this film, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, where she's screaming in the tub.
Yep.
Oh, see, I've never seen Requiem for Dreams.
So yeah, I haven't either, but I thought that was interesting that he actually owns the rights to this film,
at least in the States. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's crazy because, like, this movie, and I mean arguably, like, the whole Black Swan thing, like, it's not the same. Like, I like this better than Black Swan. I mean, I saw Black Swan years ago, like around when it came out. This is better than that. Not that Black Swan was bad, but this, like, Black Swan was very long for doing the coming to terms with your whole position and shit. And, like, a new person coming in, you think they're stealing your thunder. It did that for a really long time. Whereas this had a lot more layers to it that made it more endearing to watch for not as long of a time. So that. Also, like, I just liked the psychological end of this better.
So what score would you give this, Thomas?
I don't quite remember what I gave Paprika, but I think I would give this less than Paprika. So probably, like, I think I'd give it like a 7.8, 7.7, 77, 78, whatever you want to call it. Just because, like, it was good. Like, don't get me wrong, this is a really well done movie, especially for an animated film. Like, the nice thing about this and Paprika is it's kind of like when the decision was made, like, we're going to do this as an animated movie, it was like, okay, this opens up a lot of things that we can do with an animated film that we can't do with a live-action movie, and this one does it. Kind of like, you know, the dream Mimi floating around and, like, hopping and floating. Like, I like that they, you know, as long as that trivia is true, like, when they decided this is going to be animated, not live-action, it's like, okay, fine. Like, she's going to float and hop around because it adds that, like, dream element. But at the same time, like, it just wasn't, like, as good as Paprika was to me. Like, Paprika was really well done. It took that animated thing to a whole new level. And this was, like, it had a cool plot. It was neat. But there were also times where I was watching it where I was getting a little frustrated. And I'm sure that was the point. But mostly just, like, yeah, this is just annoying. Like, I'm getting frustrated to where I want to put it down.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's happening? Give me something to hold on to again. And I think that's the really slippery slope with thrillers like this that are psychological mostly. Also, like, Shutter Island, I think, had this issue too when I watched it, is when you start fucking around with, like, what is real and what's not.
Yeah.
And you don't give your viewer something to hold on to, whether that thing to hold on to is the actual reality or just the consistent reality, you start to be like, if none of it's real, who cares?
Yeah.
And you start to, like, kind of just fall out of it. And this movie had a couple points where, like, I appreciated, like I appreciated the cinematography, but when she was, like, waking up and like, working and then waking up from a dream as if it was a dream before, that scene did go on a little long for me to where I was like, this is getting frustrating. Like, when is this going to end? When are we going to get back to reality here? Like, what is happening? Someone tell me. And it just was maybe a little too long for my taste, so I knocked some points off it. And again, I like Paprika better, so I'm not going to rate this as highly as I did that one. So, yeah, 7, 7, 7, 8. What about you?
I definitely preferred Paprika over this, so I would give it, I think, like, yeah, like an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Or something like that. Just because I did enjoy, like, the storyline, so I like the suspense. I like, like, trying to figure out, like, who I guess is, like, the villain. Even though there's not really a villain to this, like, they...
She's kind of a villain to this. I mean,
I guess, Rumi's, yeah, like, Rumi. But also, it was, like, herself, like, battling, you know, her internal
And that was
demons.
The weird, like, perfect confluence of things, yeah. Right? Because it's, like, Rumi's doing this shit at the same time Mimi's, like, freaking
yeah.
out. Yeah.
But I definitely liked how Paprika was a little more lighthearted and... It was just, like, yeah, there was some aspect of, like, danger to it, right? Because you're getting lost in, like, people's, like, dreams and whatnot. But I think towards the end, like, it all definitely, like, concluded, and it was, like, really, like, cute almost, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'll definitely say both of these movies are, like, they're well written to the point where they have very, very satisfying endings.
Yeah.
Like, even though Paprika had a weird ending.
Yeah.
The actual resolution, like, epilogue-esque ending that you get here when, like, Mimi goes to the hospital and stuff like that, like, those, to me, I don't feel like I need to know more.
Yeah.
Like, when they're like, oh, in Paprika, when they're like, you know, the dude and the main woman are, like, gonna get married or they're gonna have kids or whatever they mm-hmm. say, and then, like, this, the kind of cop is able to go see films again and this kind of stuff, like, they round off all the characters pretty nicely. Like, everybody's, you know, doing their thing and they're happy or they're just, like, fine. And this one does it well, where, like, Mimi's an accomplished actress. People know her by the name she acts under, as opposed to her stage name.
Yeah.
Which is, like, her way of knowing she made it. And at the same time, like, Rumi isn't rotting in prison. She's getting treatment. Like, it's, like, a happy ending, but you don't necessarily feel, like, a Disneyfication of it, you know? You feel satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really liked about this, is, like, Khan has a really good way of, like, giving you a satisfying ending to a very satisfying movie, to where you feel like you're leaving the theater, getting up from your couch, like, I watched something and I'm good. I don't need more. I don't hope there's a sequel. I don't dread that there's a sequel. It's done. We're over. I'm good. And I like that. Like, I like that a lot about these movies, because a lot of movies aren't doing that. A lot of them are like, you know, maybe we'll get a sequel. Who knows? Or they're like, oh, guess what's coming up next? Or it's just like, we wanted a sequel, but we were told halfway through production we're not getting one, so here's your movie, and it ends. It's whatever. We can take it or leave it. Maybe we'll get a sequel a few years. Maybe we'll get a spinoff TV show. Who cares? And it's just like, I don't know. Stop trying to turn things into franchises. Just make your movie stop. It's fine.
Just to wrap things up, do we have any final thoughts on Perfect Blue?
This is a JoJo reference, but Perfect Blue sounds like a Stan name to me.
Yeah, Perfect Blue does sound like a Stan.
Like, if someone was like, are you here to fight me? And they were like, yes, Perfecto Blue! And then, you know, they start fighting.
Yeah.
That's about that. Because at the same time, what was Perfect Blue?
Exactly. I was going to ask you
that. I don't
think
they said it ever. I don't even think they said the name.
I think you can allude to it. Like, Perfect Blue is just this, maybe just peace.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end, she reaches, like, you know, that...
like, acceptance with herself?
Acceptance, yeah. Yes. And
I guess,
like, looking, you know, looking at the sky, and it's just, like, perfect blue, and there's not, like, there's no clouds, so maybe no clouds of confusion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it was a movie that just kind of, like, it's not like Paprika, where, like, the title characters in the movie, like, Perfect Blue just wasn't a thing, unless it was, like, a song of theirs or something. I didn't really catch it.
Yeah, I know it's based on a book. But again, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that book is about.
Well, I bet you it makes sense in the book.
Yeah, it just sounds like a cool title.
Yeah, it was cool with, like, colors and want things to be perfect.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, Thomas, what will we be covering next?
We're going to do it kind of like last time and flip it back to Amber, who hasn't seen this movie, and I have. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's The Blues Brothers from 1980. A Chicago classic, if I've ever seen it.
And for all you folks out there, don't forget to check out Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. And also, leave us a comment on Instagram, Twitter, even our website. Go check that out and let us know what you think about this podcast episode.
Yeah, or our past episodes. You know, check out our website, swhn19.com. Also, we're starting up our... By the time this is released, we've already started up kind of our mini sideshow called Small Screens. You know, there's some good stuff there, so feel free to check that out, where we're mostly watching TV shows or seasons of TV shows, and we're just kind of talking about them, or just, you know, stuff we watch at home and just maybe giving like a little brief talk about our opinions on that. Since, you know, we've seen some really good movies, and it's almost a shame that we don't get to share our opinions. So, you know, let us know what you think of those short little bits, and if you have any suggestions of things we should watch for that, let us know too. Or if you have future suggestions on things we should watch here on the main feed, we're more than happy to listen. So, you know, give us a shout out. Let us know what you think you'd want to hear us give our first impressions on, and we might just watch it.
As always, I am your host, Amber.
And I'm Thomas.
And we'll see you on the other side.
Blue!